Take out your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 16. It's our last message in our series on change. I have a message for you this morning. Life is hard and then you die. Or as my great uncle, my dad's uncle, used to say, this life, then the next, then the fire. Which at the time was a little dark to me. I wasn't living for the Lord then, but now it's stunning, because this man did not know the Lord, and as far as I know, entered into a Christless eternity when he died. Wow. That's pretty encouraging, right? You know, we live in a very joyless world, don't we? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that as you interact with people, as you work around people, it's a very negative world that we live in. Very negative. And I suppose on one level it should be. Unbelievers live like unbelievers. They think like unbelievers. So we shouldn't be surprised by those kind of things. The amazing truth that as we finish our series on change, which of course you know, Lord willing, we're always going to be talking about change, right? Lord willing, but our series is finishing. What we're going to see today from Psalm 16 is a life that God has for us as believers is radically different. It is a life that he calls fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. The challenge for us is that many times we don't really believe that. We don't live like that as Christians. And hopefully we'll grow a little more in that this morning. There is joy in following Jesus. I think if we surveyed each other this morning, we would pretty easily find an overwhelming response that every one of us would like to have more joy. I mean, who here would not like to have more joy? It's like, no, I'm fine. I don't need more joy in my life. Well, that's probably not going to be the case. Sometimes, and hopefully we'll see this from Psalm 16, sometimes we can both get and give the idea that life in Christ is a life with very little joy, where it's kind of a bummer, quite honestly. There's all of these things that you got to do and all these constraints and rules on you, and it would be sure a lot more fun if I could just do what I wanted to do. But as we find in life, and as we're certainly going to see in this psalm, that's not the case. Life in Christ is not that he wants you to give up joy, but it's that he wants you to have his kind of joy. He wants you to have a life full of joy. He doesn't want you to be miserable. The old, nasty, spirited, sour puss in the church is not the most spiritual person. Okay? It's actually a rebel. If you're a nasty, sour puss and you think that you're spiritual, you got it wrong. You're a rebel. Because God commands his people to have joy. And that's a significant thing as we look into Psalm 16 this morning that really should start to transform the way that we think and live. God commands his people to be joyous. I rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. It's a command. Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice. It's God's will for you today to be joyful, to have joy in your life, to have the kind of life that he wants you to have. So there's a couple of questions that we're going to try to answer this morning from Psalm 16. Again, Lord willing, as we look at this text. First of all, what does it mean to have God's kind of joy? In other words, what does it look like? What does God want for us to have? Where does that kind of joy come from? All those kind of practical things. And another one is, how do I get it? How do I have this? How do I experience this? And so let's look into Psalm 16 together then, and we'll see if we can hopefully start to or continue to live with God's kind of joy in our lives. Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom are all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wow. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, again, our hearts are already full, God, as we worshiped through song together and remembered the wonderful truths that we're already looking into in your word. And God, as we remember your sovereignty and your goodness and your ways, God, how amazing you are. God, as we hear and remember how blessed we are in comparison to so many others in this world. God, as we see your people taking steps of faith and ministering, just everything there, God, it's just a wonderful thing. We thank you. God, we know that as your people redeemed, God, as your children now in your family, God, all you have done, that we should be always overflowing with joy. God, we know that that doesn't always happen, and life is sometimes very difficult. But God, I pray for us today that you'd help us to grow a little bit in that. And God, as we certainly see the truth, that it would impact the way we think and live in such a way, God, that we'd be pleasing in your sight, a better testimony, God, and have, God, this joyous life that you want for your children. So we pray for openness of heart this morning, God, for openness of heart to hear from your word. God, for a spirit that comes to the word, God, to learn and to change for every one of us. God, that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Joy. Joy is a command. How in the world can you command joy? Well, if you're God, I guess you can do whatever you want to. I guess the better question for us this morning is, how do we obey such a command? Right? Isn't that a better question? He's done it. There's no reason questioning why he's done it. He wants us to be joyful. So how do we do that? How do we start to live in joy? There's a couple of things here, and this first one that we're going to talk about here is probably the most important. As you look in verse 1 of Psalm 16, he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." Joy is rooted in truth. Joy is not rooted in emotion. When I was reading these notes this morning, I thought to myself, you need to change that to say joy is not primarily rooted in emotion. It's not true. I didn't say that because it's not true. Joy is not rooted in emotion. That's more accurate. Joy is rooted in truth. Now, notice what the psalmist says, "Preserve me, O Lord." Guess what? His life had some problems. He was a person, wasn't he? Guess what people have in their life? Problems, right? Sometimes it's difficult. There's hardships. There's all of that. And there's difficult emotional things to handle, right? Preserve me, O God. So it's not that it's not emotional. It's not that it's easy and you can't just flip on a switch and say, okay, joy switch, sad switch, emotionally beat down switch, joyous switch. No. But the truth of the matter is, in you, God, I put my trust. That is the key to having a joy-filled life. Joy is rooted in trust. And we're going to see that a little more even throughout this psalm. Now, if we can get that this morning, That'll transform the way that a lot of the ways you think and act happen in life. It'll transform the way that you approach life. Because how easy is it for us when life is difficult just to play the pity party and to say, oh, it's so difficult, and oh, this is going on, and all these things are happening, right? And so what do we need to do at that time? We need to play a 15-second clip from Haiti, right? And tell each other to shut up, right? Grow up a little bit here. You don't have it so bad. It's not that easy, though, is it? Joy is rooted in truth. We speak things into our lives when it's difficult that are not true, don't we? And we worry about everything that might happen and all these things. When we come back to the truth, we start to put our trust in you, oh God, I put my trust. That's where the psalmist starts. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting to think about it and just maybe even stunning? It's not that joy grows out of our feelings. You may be happy one day, you may be down one day. True joy, joy in the Lord, is rooted in Him. It's rooted in His character. It's rooted in truth. It comes in trusting into a sovereign God. He is the great King. He is perfectly sovereign. He is over all things. He knows everything that's going on in your life. Joy in life comes from trusting in the sovereignty and goodness of God. That's why we talk about so often Romans 8:28-29. Where it says that God is working everything that happens in your life for good, and that good purpose, if you're a believer, and that good purpose is to make you like Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the truth that you can rest in, the sovereignty of God. When things come at you, when life is difficult, and you're tempted to despair or whatever, you remember, wait a minute here, my God is the great King, and He is good. He's working all these things. He's trying to help me. He's trying to make me more like Christ by allowing these things into my life. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to place my faith in Him. And let me pose a question to you this morning. This is, I think, is a helpful question. I don't mean it to do anything but to stir up your thinking. Who is more trustworthy? And then you can even, I would even say, in a difficult situation, who's more trustworthy? Is it the great King, God Himself, the creator of the universe, who made all things, who's over all things, who's watching everything, who's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise, all-good, or is it you? Who's more trustworthy? Amen. What do we do, though? Fear, anxiety, worry, stress, pressures, and I got this has to happen, I got to manipulate this, and I got to change this, and I got to do my thing, and all this. Wait a minute here. The psalmist tells us a key to life: in you, O Lord, I have put my trust. I'm not going to let these pressures of life determine the way that I respond. It doesn't make it any easier per se, but it makes it the truth, right? I am going to do hard things. I'm going to trust. I'm going to rest in the sovereignty and goodness of God, because all of my efforts don't ever work anyway, right? I have a good friend that once told me, he said, I have stopped worrying about the weather because there's only ever been one time when I've been able to affect the weather. Right? Of course not. Couldn't affect it at all. Right? You see, resting and trusting in the sovereignty of God, that's one of the keys to having a joy-filled life. Because when life comes at you then, and it's difficult, instead of going the normal route and just despairing and giving up all hope, you say, all right, God has a good purpose in this. I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do what He says and tells me my responsibility is, and I'm going to let God be God. I'm going to let God be God in my life. And when it's difficult, I'm going to cry out to Him just like the psalmist does. Preserve me, O God. Preserve me. Help me. And You are God, not me. God, You work these things out. I can't control them. I can't change any of these things. Rooted in truth. Another part that the psalmist brings to our attention where joy is rooted in truth. These are just the preliminary things here, I think, that we can see that will help us, and then we can make some good applications. He says in verse 2, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. Kind of changes gears a little bit there on the first part. And just for our purposes now, and we'll probably talk about this a little more as we get to the application part, But true joy comes from remembering who you are and who God is. I guess it's just a good application to think about is if you're overwhelmed and you're struggling with joy, take a little bit of time meditating on what God has done in your life and who you are. You know, every person that's ever been born is deserving of hell, is deserving to go to eternity apart from God. But if you are a believer, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's completely spared you from that. He says, "My goodness is nothing apart from you." It's kind of interesting in this psalm, all about joy and him crying out to the Lord and everything. He's saying, he's just confessing that right off the bat. God, I'm nothing apart from you. No matter, based on who you are, God still loved you and saved you. Think about that. That's awesome, isn't it? And that is a source, that is a reason to rejoice. And as you live through your life, don't ever forget that. When you fail, when you fail, you repent. What does God do every single time? Forgives you 100%. 100%. Not only that, but God loves you so much that He cares about even the moments of your life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the great creator of this world who knows that our goodness is nothing apart from Him. There's nothing that we're going to add to God. There's nothing that we're going to do for God or we're going to do that's going to help Him in some way. He lets us do stuff, right? He gives us opportunities to serve Him, but there's nothing that He needs. And what's He do? He's actively involved in your life. Wow. The creator of the universe, really, your life. Think about that. Stunning. Every day, every moment, the creator of the universe is loving on you. Wow. Now that's a reason for joy, if there are any. Even remembering who you are, remembering what He spared you from. We kind of have this part here where He talks about unbelievers. And in the day of the psalmist here, of course, it is ours too, just a little different way. There's a lot of idolatry. And He says, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up on their names on my list." So remembering that God spared you from priceless eternity. But it's even more than that. It's even more than that. Psalm 32:10 is a really good cross-reference for us on this one point here. It says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but..." I think it says, "Mercy shall surround him who trusts in the Lord." Something real similar to that. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but the one that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." And he's talking about in verse 4 here, if you hasten after another god, and I would say if you just reject, and that would be rejecting the living God. So if in any way, when you're rejecting the living God, many sorrows, it's a hard life. But a source of joy is God has spared you from those things. Mercy shall surround you. It's kind of an awesome thought. Joy is rooted in truth. As we're going to see as we kind of make application and finish this last part out here, and we go to the next point. Joy is rooted in truth. Joy is rooted in living according to God's truth. So for just the final point on this preliminary stuff, I want you to think about this with me. What happens in life? If we look at Psalm 32:10 just in particular and think about this point. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." What happens in life when you do things that are not according to the design of whatever thing you're doing? So let's say that we all got together this morning and we decided that we hate OPEC. And we really hate $3 a gallon gas, which is someone's, you know, it's going to be $95 next week or something. Everyone's trying to panic everybody for some reason. Fine. Buy a horse if it gets that high. But listen, what happens if we just decide this morning, you know what, I'm tired of paying for gas, and so I'm just going to pour water in my gas tank. That should be fine, shouldn't it? I don't even like to get my oil changed. I'm going to pour water in my engine. It should work. I'm going to pour milk in there. Cheaper. I don't know. What's going to happen? There's not going to be much joy involved, is there? The car is not designed to have milk in the engine. Right? The designer would say, "You're a bonehead." Right? "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." Not much joy in their life. The world thinks that their way is fun. They sell it that it's fun. They tell you that it's going to be good for you. What's the Bible say? It's no fun. What's experience tell us? It's a truck wreck. Right? What happens when we live by the design of the designer? Mercy. Right? Mercy. Joy is rooted in truth, in responding to God based on who He is and based on who we are. Man, if we can get nothing else from this, we haven't even got to the part about joy yet. If we can get nothing else but that, life is much easier, it's much sweeter, it's much more full of joy, fullness of joy. Okay, now, again, the truth then, understanding true blessing. Part of why we struggle with joy in this world is because we're joying in the wrong things. We're rejoicing in the wrong things. We're setting our hope on the wrong things. We're putting our life energies into the wrong desires and the wrong pursuits and all of that kind of stuff. Understand what true blessing is. True blessing is not a bigger house or a better car or being able to do what you want to do. Boy, you know, if I could just plan my life, this is the American dream, if I could just plan my life in such a way that I completely deny myself my whole life, which almost no one does anyway, and so that I could get to a point where I can finally retire, then I can do what I want to do, right? Where's God in that? So true blessing is, joy comes from understanding what true blessing is. And now notice this here. This is again one of those just fundamental things that you need to have as part of your life in Christ to understand how to please God. Oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. It's God that's the blessing. You know that today? The only blessing. The only blessing, God Himself. Now He gives us all kinds of stuff, doesn't He? He gives us food, He gives us, sometimes He gives you a mansion and a nice car and all that, right? Sometimes. But the truth of the matter is, if you put your faith and hope or trust or desires on any of those things, you're going to be let down. Even sometimes, putting your faith in something that would normally be a good pursuit can turn into a curse in your life, right? I just want my husband to love me the way Christ loves the church. That's a good desire. But if that's where your faith and hope is in, you're going to be disappointed. You're probably going to be bitter. It's the Lord that is your blessing. It is the Lord that is your cup. It is the Lord that is your inheritance. He is the only one that can satisfy and fulfill you. He's the only one that can give you this fullness of joy in this life and in the next. And the psalmist is really kind of taking our minds back to the inheritance of the land and how they would proportion it all out and give each person. And the psalmist says he is satisfied in what God has given him. He says, I have a good inheritance. I have my lines have fallen to me on pleasant places. He's content in the things that God has given him. He's not covetous and lustful, looking after other things and trying to get other things to sort of fulfill him and fill him up. He is content in what God has given him because God Himself is his blessing. A couple passages I want us to look at this morning as we just think about and hear from just the Psalms and just from the Bible about what it means to have your trust, your rest, your hope in Christ. Let's look at Psalm 27 first, and then we're going to go to John 10. And we're going to read all of Psalm 27. You can follow along. Now, notice the emphasis of David here and who David's joy comes from or where David's joy comes from. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek. Now notice this, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, again, life can be difficult. You can't disconnect the truth from life because God gave us life and He gave us the truth. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice that David is telling us that joy comes from who God is, understanding who he is, and trusting God. The joy is in Christ himself and just relating to him, understanding that you have a relationship with the living God. Turn over to me now to John 10. John 10, we'll start in verse 10. We're just going to read a couple verses in John 10. Okay, the context here is not necessarily what we're talking about, but we can understand something that we need to understand. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Okay, so now think about that. That's exactly what we're talking about. The context, again, he's talking about some other stuff with the Pharisees and all that, but that doesn't matter for our purposes. The part that's important for us this morning is Jesus said he has come that people can have life abundant. Okay, abundant life, rich life, full life, joyous life, amazing life, this life that God has called us to, that where you live according to his will, you live for him, and he fills you. He gives you joy. He is your portion. He is your cup. Now, notice the next thing that Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. When we talk about God being our portion, God being our cup, the relationship that we have, true joy comes from Jesus Christ himself. And he was telling his disciples there, this is the life that I want for you, and it's going to be based on my person, and I am going to give my life for you. Now, what happened at the cross? Jesus made a way for you to have a relationship with him. Think about how important that is as we talk about joy, as we think about really what life is all about. The basis of our joy is Christ himself. He is the basis of your joy. It's the opposite, as in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 16, the psalmist says, it's the opposite of covetousness. It's contentment. It's whatever God gives you or whatever gets thrown at you in the world, saying, all right, God, you are sovereign. I'm going to trust you on this one. You know, how many of us, as we look back our lives, and some of us have to look back a little further than others, right? But how many of us, as we look back on our lives, would say, you know what, I at the beginning really wanted this, 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 and this to happen. And man, I'm glad it didn't. Right? Why is that? Because a good and sovereign God was watching out for you. And what do? We lay down sometimes, oh, I just didn't get what I wanted. And there's no joy in my life. And I refuse to have joy because I'm going to bum out and life is hard. Wait a minute. A good and sovereign God is working. Trust him. Trust him. He laid down his life for you. Wow. And as Paul would later tell us, what else is he not going to give you? You know, he gave you his son. His son died for you. What else is he not going to give you? Trust him. Rest in him. Believe what he says. Have joy. That's how come joy can be commanded, because it's rooted in the truth. We have to remember this. Okay, this is who God is. This is what he's done. This is who I am. And I'm just going to trust and rest in him. Basis of our joy then. So we understand true blessing comes from God himself. The basis of our joy is to live God's way. Live God's way. Psalm 119, 1-2 says, blessed. And that word blessed, we could say it's supremely happy. So blessed. It would be really basically describing a character of joy. You're blessed. Supremely happy. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Joy in your life comes from obeying God. I hope you think that way. I really do. And if you don't, I'd like to just encourage you to start to make that part of the way that you think. Real joy comes from obeying God. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Well, I'm not wicked. Well, if you disobey God, you are. And you can think about it that way, because when you disobey God, you're living contrary to the way of the designer. You're doing what you want to do. You're pouring milk in your engine. It's not going to work out too well. But when you live God's way, blessed. It's very difficult to sometimes think this way. I met a man this year who told me that he's finally seeing the wisdom of doing what God says in his life. And he's been a Christian for 20 years, and he's finally seeing the wisdom of doing what God says in his life. And he said he has a level of joy that he's never experienced before. And he said something to me that was very stunning. He's got a very difficult life right now, a lot of problems, health problems, family problems, financial problems, you name it. It's like the pressures of the world are squeezing this guy. And he says, if to keep my relationship the way it is with the Lord, it takes all of those things, I want those to continue. Think about that. That is a stunning statement. He's understood that he can live in light of the goodness and sovereignty of God. He can live in a way that's obedient to God, and God himself is a blessing. God is giving him a rich and full life. Obey God. He's our great King. Have an eternal mindset. We're not going to look at the whole Matthew 5 beginning Beatitudes there, but here's a couple of them. Matthew 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Have an internal mindset. There's more to this. There's more to existence than just this short life. And Jesus is saying, look ahead. Remember what you have in heaven. Remember that I am your blessing. Remember that I am going to be with you forever. I am your inheritance. Great is your reward. Right? Have an eternal mindset, and don't just get all focused in on this life and how difficult it can be or whatever. Now notice, just as we kind of close here, notice the benefits of living God's way and the joy that comes from a life, a Godward life. Verse 7, we're going to start, and let's do these very quickly here. He says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. And so you can just think about, maybe it's who instructs, my heart also instructs me in the night season. It's just a way to know the right ways to live, having direction in life or wisdom. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. He shall be at my right hand and I shall not be moved. It's a stable life. It's not the purely emotional life where your emotions for the day dictate the way that your day is going to be. If your day is hard, you rejoice in the Lord. If God gives you an easy day, you rejoice in the Lord. It's a stable life. I will not be moved from the truth. And so you could call it stability in an unstable and dark world. Right? Stability. A rock, Jesus calls his teaching, a rock that we can build our lives on. Hope, verses 9 and 10. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. True hope, real hope, right? Rooted in the character of God. Hope in life. Hope in a very hopeless world. And again, this goes on to be a messianic psalm here, as is quoted in verse 10, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor allow your Holy One to see corruption. So it's all about Christ again. A direction again in verse 11, you will show me the path of life. Again, just a life of wisdom, living by God's word and joy. A life where you have real joy. Just even as we talk about this morning, I can't help but imagine there's someone here that this is kind of hard to really get your hands around. Because we live as such emotional people, and you cannot separate our emotions from who we are. Right? I can't tell you, look, stop being emotional. Right? That would be fruitless. Okay, what do I do? Right? Okay, be happy. Well, I don't want to be happy. I don't feel like being happy. Well, okay, I get that. This is why this is really so critical to get. It's the truth. It's God. It's God Himself. It's God's truth that will give you joy in life. And if you struggle with this, here's what I would like you to try to do. If you can't get your mind around this, that's fine. Try to just live this way for a week. Make yourself a list. And every time you're tempted to despair or you notice that you're not having joy in your life, write that down. And write down who God is in your circumstance and what God's will for you is. And then start to look at this list. And then the next week, make a plan and purpose to trust God in those situations and see what happens. See what happens to your emotional self. A big part of life in Christ is moving beyond living by your emotions and moving to living by, this is what God has said. We're not going to do away with our emotions. God has given us emotions. They're good. They're wonderful. But if they drive your life, you're going to be certainly not joyful. Your self is going to speak to you. You're going to be down a lot. If you live by God's truth, you're going to experience His joy. So then the other side is you get the emotion of joy. It's a wonderful thing. Verse 11 again, he says, "You will show me the path of life." This is what God's will for you is. "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Forever. In your presence is fullness of joy. Remember all you have in Christ. As we close here, we're going to read Psalm 121 together to close. I'd like you to listen to this statement by C.S. Lewis. He's a good thinker and has an excellent statement here on joy. He said, "If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desire not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. We are like ignorant children who want to continue making mud pies in a slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We're far too easily pleased. We often settle for less when infinite joy is offered us by the great Creator, the great King. And if we will come to Him His way, He gives us this life of joy, this life of fullness." Psalm 121 as we close. "I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going in and your coming out from this time forth, even forevermore. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." God's will for you today is a wonderful life, lived His way, glorifying Him, and full of joy. Let's pray together. Oh, Oh, God, our Father, we again just thank you for your perfect word, your perfect way, and your amazing plan for people. God, I can't speak for everyone, but I know in my own life it's sometimes very difficult to obey you and rejoice when things don't go the way that I want them to go. God, help us in this. God, not only is it difficult for us to understand, but also, God, it's very often runs against our nature to want to do. So, God, we need your Spirit at work among us to change us. And, God, I pray that you'd help us even to begin to take steps of obedience this week in rejoicing. God, in remembering your sovereignty and your goodness, your truth, your care, your love, your mercy, God, your justice, everything about you, that you have not left us here orphans. God, you are intimately and actively involved in our lives. Amazing. And Lord, might our attitudes, our thinking, and our actions follow that. Might, God, we be a people who are always filled with joy when we remember the truth. God, as we are always orienting our life towards you and not so easily pulled by the lesser things of this world that won't fill us, and that, God, people would see your glory through the joy of your people. And that's my prayer for us today, God. Help us just to continue to grow. God, continue to use your word to sharpen and encourage us. And, God, continue to use each other in each other's lives. Use us in each other's lives, God, to help, to encourage, to build up, to help with change, God, everything that you've designed your church to do, that we might do a better job and increasingly grow in that as a church as well. In Jesus' name, amen.